Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Welcome aboard to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And what is up, Xander?
Not much. How's it going?
Everything's going great. And, of course, I know this may not be the biggest news of the week, but it is the biggest news if you're a Cubs fan. And, of course, Hayward goes to the Cubbies. So not only is it a loss for St. Louis, but a gain for the Cubs. What do you think?
I thought it was awesome. I mean, I think it's a great move for the Cubs. Makes this lineup next year awfully scary when you think of guys like Hayward, Bryant, Rizzo, Schwarber. I mean, I think it's a great move for the Cubs. Really excited about it. I mean, I think Jason Hayward has really came into his own the last few years. I mean, I think a lot of people labeled him during his first few years in the league as kind of a bust. But, I mean, the guy has so much talent, and I think he actually has an outside shot of even getting a lot better and becoming an MVP candidate. But whatever the case, last year, I mean, he's a gold glover. He's going to play center field for the Cubs. He hit .293 last year. I mean, this is a great pickup to an already pretty good Cubs team with a very young core. So, I mean, I love the move, and I'm very excited for the next year already.
And to stay on the Cubbies, how about the trading of Castro and the signing of Zobrist?
You know, the trading of Castro for me was a little bittersweet. I mean, Starlin definitely had his ups and downs as a Cub, was kind of a fun guy to watch. But I think at the end of the day, Zobrist, I think, was the move. I think he's a better player. And it's interesting that Zobrist actually turned down a little bit more money from the Giants to come play for the Cubs. So, I mean, that's definitely something to look into. It's actually true, you know, in the statement, you know, he didn't do it all for the money. And I think he's a great player. I mean, he's been all around the league. He's a gamer, probably the best utility player in the league in terms of being able to basically play any position. And again, adds another good, solid bat to this Cubs lineup, and he's also a switch hitter. So, you know, I think the move to let Starlin go was right. You know, he was kind of fun to watch over the past few years. Got 1,000 hits as a Cub. I mean, you know, he definitely did some good things in Chicago, but you know, he's moving on, and I think Zobrist is a great addition as well.
No, I like Starlin. I mean, him and Madden didn't hit off right away, and then he did a good job, and he was a real great teammate. And I'm glad he's going to a good team, and, you know, hopefully he'll do well there. I mean, you know, he was the staple with Rizzo as they started, and now they move on. And, of course, you know, we've had some other major moves here. And what do you think about the Greinke signing with Arizona, and then them going after Shelby Miller?
I mean, very unlike the Diamondbacks, I think, to make this kind of move. I don't think the Diamondbacks were even close to in the conversation for Greinke. And when that news popped up on my phone, I was in Walmart, and I was very surprised. You know, Diamondbacks, kind of a smaller market team. You know, haven't been very good in the recent years, but I mean, this is a big play for them. I mean, Greinke is a certified ace on a pitching staff, and that's, I think you look at a lot of great teams, that's really what you need. You need a guy at the top of the rotation who can shut teams down, can stop losing streaks, can be that guy that you give the ball to in any game and expect to have a good chance to win. And I think Greinke's that guy. And also, you're talking about Shelby Miller. I mean, he's no slouch either. I mean, he's another young pitcher who I think has got a lot of good seasons ahead of him. And I think this Diamondbacks team, you know, with guys like A.J. Pollock, Paul Goldschmidt, and Nick Ahmed, I think they're definitely trending in the right direction.
You know, I agree. I agree 100%. I think it's a really good trade for them, and they gave up some good talent. Of course, the Astros traded the number one pick of the draft for Giles. What do you think of that?
I thought it was a little suspect. I mean, Giles is a good player, but I mean, giving up a guy you went up that far in the draft for, you know, I wasn't so sure about the move. What do you think?
You know, I don't know. I think you go for it right now, and you know, he is just a prospect. I mean, of course, we've seen, you know, just prospects, Bryce Harper, Correa, Trout, that, you know, turn out to be unbelievable. But, you know, they're going for the big ball of wax right away. So I have no problem with it. I mean, again, you got to give to get, and that's all fine. I got no issue with that whatsoever. I mean, again, I don't know that I'd make it, but, you know, if you think you can win, you know, we've all seen, you know, when they sat, from Washington, and they didn't let him play, and they didn't win, and they thought they'd be back, and they still haven't been back. So,
right.
You know, you got to sometimes go for it. And, of course, a little sad news this week before your time, but Hot Rod Williams died at 53 years old. Never a good thing. But a great hoop star. And shame to see him go. And I'll tell you, you got just... so many things going on here, and you know, as you look around the sports world, you see just deals galore and things happening. And as we look at hoops here, what are you thinking in the hoop season here? You got already Popovich has started sitting his guys, and you got to watch those daily lineups if you're playing, you know, the FanDuel and the DraftKings, because you know, these guys end up sitting a lot and they're never on the report, and then all of a sudden, they didn't play. What do you think of all that stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. Maybe just the way that the NBA works now, I think Pop was one of the first guys to come out with that sort of thing. And I mean, the goal is winning a championship at the end of the day, and however he thinks is the best way to get there, you know, I wouldn't doubt him. I think he's probably the best coach in the NBA, if not one of the best coaches of all time. But, yeah, I mean, that's just part of the daily fantasy world is constantly keeping up on your sports. So, I mean, that's just part of the deal. I'm going to start looking at some NBA, you know, with the NFL season winding down. A lot of good news. The Warriors still undefeated. I mean, when do you think their streak's going to end?
I don't know. They might go 82-0. They're off. You know what? They're awfully good, and they seem like they're having an awfully good time playing as well. So that's always interesting. Obviously they're going to find a place. They're going to lose somewhere, but they show no sign of fatigue or weakness, and they get and the beauty of their team is half the time they're not playing in the fourth quarter.
Right. And I had an interesting conversation with somebody the other day, and I wanted to get your thoughts. How do you think this Warriors team would fare, you know, back in the early 90s, late 80s, when the NBA was, you know, a lot different of a game, a lot more physical?
I think they'd get their ass kicked. I mean, I don't get me wrong, they'd be a winning team. But they, you know, for example, Steph Curry, he'd be sitting on his ass, and he'd probably be injured a lot more. You know, the game has changed. It's much softer now than it was. Athlete-wise, it's always hard to compare eras. I think the easiest sport to compare in is basketball versus anything else, because it's just really pure shooting and pure defense. But, you know, they don't – in basketball today – they call fouls too fast. It's almost like football. You know, I mean, even in football, and just to compare the two, you know, they call way too many penalties now. You know, you touch a guy, you know, and even these helmet to helmet. And I understand the whole ordeal of the concussion protocol, and I'm in full support of it. However, you can't do it on every play. Sometimes it's just the greatest. It just happens. But we'll talk about this more, because I think it's an important topic when we come back from the break. This is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander, and a lot of big things happening. We're getting ready to go into bowl season. Make sure you check out thesportingedge.net and as well as thebubbashow.org. A lot of great things happening on both those sites, and we're excited to serve you. We're excited to be here, and we'll be back and talk some more sports after the break. This is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll be right back.
Play soft and low. Get all the night.
Welcome back to The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. So, Xander, as I was saying, You know, when two guys are flying through the air and one guy just ducks or whatever and he gets helmet to helmet, I can't call that a penalty. I think that has to be looked at. And just like the targeting in college, you know, again, I understand. I think you can obviously tell when it's done with intent and when it's accidental. And I think you change the dynamics of the game. And in basketball, you know, now they have the arc, which keeps guys away, and you touch a guy's jersey and they're calling you a foul. And to me, that takes away from the game. Now, don't get me wrong, it makes for a pure game. I mean, that's another game we can compare to, which is U.S. or American hockey versus European hockey. You know, European hockey is a much more fluid sport. There's a lot less checking and the way you can check. So I think that Golden State would be a good team, but I guarantee you, Steph Curry would be locked down. He played Michael Jordan in the Bulls. Either Jordan would lock him down or Pippen would lock him down. Because, you know, we've seen it. You weren't around when those happened, but when the Bulls won their first championship against the Lakers, they put Pippen on Magic Johnson, and he shut him down. And that, you don't get that same opportunity anymore, that lockdown defense, until the playoffs. And that's the other problem in the game, is they don't really let him play. And again, listen, granted, a lot of players don't want to play. You know, they like this softer style now because they don't wear out as fast. But overall, they'd be a good team, but they're no way. And they could have won. They could win 24 in a row then too. I mean, I think the Lakers' streak was 33 in a row, if I remember correctly. But
yeah, I think that's right.
At the end of the day, it was a lot harder then to go night after night and play because you're getting the crap beat out of you day after day. So I think it's a good argument, and it's one that we can obviously have forever. But I think at the end of it, you'll see that that it would make more sense that you would see that these guys would stop these guys. But again, it's just a matter of, you know, what happens and when it happens. But I think that, you know, you would see overall that the guys, older guys, would be shutting these guys down because there wouldn't be so much of the overall, you know, like the softness of the game, I think we'll call it, because the game is softer than it has been in the past. And what'd you think of the final NCAA rankings? Were you on board with that?
Yeah, I was on board. I mean, I think the committee got it right. Like I said last week, it'd have been interesting to see what would have happened if Notre Dame would have won, because I felt like they would have had a better case to make it than Oklahoma. But, you know, whatever the case, they lost. You know, Oklahoma won in big fashion. I think this playoff is very interesting. I mean, I still think that Alabama, is the best team. But, you know, they could face some challenges. I mean, they were not as impressive as I thought they would look against Florida in that SEC championship game. I mean, I realized that the score was probably closer than what the actual game was, but I thought they'd come out and really beat the crap out of Florida, and I feel like they didn't completely do that. You know, this Clemson team faced a little bit of a scare. I mean, for all those who watched the North Carolina game, if it wasn't for a phantom offsides call on the onside kick, I mean, we might be sitting here talking about a different story. I mean, the North Carolina recovered that kick, but they threw a flag for offsides, in which they clearly showed that nobody on the North Carolina kickoff team was offsides. So that was a very close game, which we thought would be on a show last week. So this is going to be a very interesting playoff, and I think Clemson is really going to get tested. But I look for Alabama to make it to the national championship. In Michigan State, got to give them credit for grinding it out. Connor Cook, with that bad shoulder, led his team down the field, you know, in the final drive of the game. I think it was the longest drive in NCAA football this year. I believe it was like 24, 25 plays. That was a great game against Iowa. Got to give Iowa credit for fighting. You know, they almost pulled it out, just didn't quite have enough at the end.
No, I think that Alabama, I like Alabama, and they're obviously the favorite to win it all, but they have one problem. They got no offense. They don't have no Amari Cooper. They don't have a good quarterback.
They do have Derrick Henry, though.
No, I know, but, you know, if you shut Derrick Henry down, look what Ohio State did to him last year. Again, I'm not saying they can't win it. I'm just saying that they're a team, they're the classic example of a team. If they get behind, it's hard for them to come back and win. Now, again, I'm not saying they'll get behind. I mean, they're awfully good, okay? And they're certainly the favorite. But I would be, I will tell you this, no matter who they're playing, I'll be most likely taking the points in that game, because knowing that if my team happens to get up early, I got a really good chance to win that game straight up. And that was the same as I thought last year in the big game. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. But I think that, again, if you can get behind, you can get out on them, then you can shut them out. And that's a big part of the game for them, and they don't have it. And speaking of Henry, what do you think of the Heisman? Is he win the Heisman? I mean, I actually like McCaffrey. I think he's a better candidate, but it doesn't matter either way. I'm just, what do you think?
I think this is really tough for me. I mean, I think Derrick Henry, I think, benefits the most from being in the limelight the past few weeks. I mean, you see some of the numbers he's putting up, not only yards-wise, but just carries, you know, I think 40-plus carries back-to-back weeks. I mean, that's pretty unheard of, but, I mean, that's how much this Alabama team relies on him and relies on this running game. McCaffrey's interesting. I mean, he broke the all-purpose yardage record, you know, set by Barry Sanders, which is an unbelievable accomplishment, and he's still got another year left. And then Deshaun Watson, I think, you know, has been the steadiest the entire year. Never really was a standout, like, number one. You know, this guy's going to win the Heisman, but I think he's certainly got to give him a shot. I mean, he's been a top five conference quarterback, you know, out of all the quarterbacks in top five conferences this year, is the most rushing yards out of anybody quarterback-wise. I think right now I'd have to lean towards Derrick Henry just because of his performance down the stretch. But, you know, if either of these three guys won, I wouldn't be surprised. I think the vote will be pretty close.
I think Deshaun Watson gets blown out, and not because he's not deserving of it. I think just because this is like the year of the running back. I think they're tired of giving it to the quarterbacks. And that's, again, not that he doesn't deserve it, because he probably, as you clearly stated, he probably deserves it more than anybody, because he's been the most consistent performer. But McCaffrey's been pretty good as well. Again, he doesn't get seen as late, and he plays late at night. So, you know, that'll be interesting. And what about this college bowl season? You know, you got teams in there with a losing record. I mean, we know it's always about the money, so we're not arguing that fact. I mean, it's a big ticket for ESPN, but I think that's kind of sad that we have to have losing teams to go in the bowl games. I mean, that should be a reward, not for being 5-7. What do you think?
You know, I'm kind of in the middle. It doesn't really matter much to me. I'm a big fan of the bowl season in general. But yeah, it is kind of weird, you know, thinking about the bowl season as kind of a reward for having a good regular season, which you could see a team with a losing record just not being deserving of getting to that next step, you know, and no matter what bowl it is. I mean, you know, half the bowls, you know, the people on the teams, basically you never heard of them. But I mean, it is a bit weird, but the bowl season is so great in general. I love all the teams in it, so, I mean, more teams for me. It doesn't really matter much. I just like watching the games.
Yeah, well, if you're an action junkie, of course you love the games. I mean, you know, there's nothing like it, you know, for the next, you know, starting on December 19th, there's games every day until January 2nd, I think. So you can't help, except for Christmas Day. You can't help but love that. I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. I enjoy, you know, all of it, because, you know, we do some investing and all that. And there brings in, you know, when there's more than multiple games, there's fantasy. So, yeah, I get it. But I'm just, you know, it's just a shame that we can't find enough winning teams, you know, to fill these. I mean, these bowls used to be, you know, a much bigger deal. Excuse me. And, of course, the championship series is good, and hopefully they'll move to 8 teams soon. But, you know, again, it goes back to the bodies of the players. You know, you just can't keep piling on games onto these guys, because, you know, their bodies take a beating. And as we've seen with all the football, you know, going on, you know, all the major injuries and the stuff that's coming back to haunt guys, you know, that have been gone, you know, out of the league, you know, with that CTE and all the other stuff. So, you know, it's tough. I wish they could figure out a way to make football safer, because obviously it's the number one sport, at least as far as Las Vegas is concerned. And I think that's what we're talking about here is, you know, what is Vegas like, because that's what brings in the most money. I mean, that's the bottom line. When we know it always comes back to money, but, you know, it'll be interesting, and, you know, we'll see. But what we'll do now is we're going to step out of here for a break. This is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander, and we're going to come back with our fantasy lineup and some of our NFL selections, and hopefully we can keep the good times rolling. This is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll be right back after the break.
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And Xander, it is time for the FanDuel Fantasy lineup. How did we do last week?
We had a rough week last week. You know, the main proponent of that took a chance on Jay Cutler. Thought he had a great matchup. Just didn't perform. I think he ended up with 7 or 8 points. And in a cash game where, you know, the number one overall quarterback, Cam Newton, put up about 35. Very tough to win. Had a couple decent selections, D'Angelo Williams, Odell Beckham. But you know, when you have guys that are highly owned and do well, and can't pick, you know, the lowly owned guys who do well, that's when you run into trouble. So we had a rough week last week. But you know, we're bringing it back this week. Let's start off with the quarterback, and I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he definitely hasn't been the prototypical Aaron Rodgers this year, but I think, you know, coming off that huge Thursday night win, you know, playing at home, getting 11 days to prepare, I think he's one of the higher dollar QBs this weekend that has the best opportunity with a high upside game. You know, he's at home. He's been great coming off like a great win, like we said. Dallas is on a short week, you know, following the Monday night game. So I think, you know, the matchup and the upside is here. You know, I don't know how he'll do, but I think Aaron Rodgers, you know, being one of the top three quarterbacks in the league, will find a way to get the ball to Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, Richard Rodgers, who really emerged last week, and I think he's in for a big week. My first running back slot, I'm going to go with T.J. Yeldon of the Jags versus the Colts. You know, the biggest knock on Yeldon this season has been his lack of touches in the red zone. That's a little bit concerning, but, you know, recently the Jags have said they need him, get him more looks near the goal line, and they actually scored a second rushing touchdown of the season last week. You know, he's played on 80% of the snaps. You know, basically an every down back for them. So at 6,400, you know, with the upside of touches in this game versus a weak defense, I think T.J. Yeldon keeps getting better like he has every week, and I think he has a big game. My second running back slot, I'm going with Jonathan Stewart, another guy who's been probably the most consistent running back in the NFL from a workload perspective. You know, he's eclipsed at least 20 touches in 8 straight games, and the Panthers are very dedicated to running the football. I think a great matchup this week, you know, the Carolina Panthers being an 11-point favorite at home versus the Falcons. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for this Carolina team to run the ball. You know, if they get up big, I don't see them trying to stretch the game out that much. I think they'll give the ball to Stewart. He'll get plenty of touches and hopefully find the end zone. My first wide receiver slot, I'm going back to this guy. You know, has had an amazing 3 weeks and an amazing last 2 weeks for us in the lineup. OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., you know, during that 3-week stretch we just talked about, he's averaged 6 receptions for 130 yards and a touchdown. You know, he sees a great mix of targets. You see him line up in the slot, you see him line up outside. Eli Manning has a lot of confidence in this guy, and he should, because he probably has the best hands in the league. You know, this is a great matchup versus the Dolphins. They're ranked 32nd in defending opposing number one wideouts. So I think Beckett is by far my favorite receiver this week, and so I had to play him. My second wide receiver slot is going to Anquan Boldin of the 49ers. You know, I kind of hope that Boldin flies under the radar this week. For the money, under $6,000, he's priced at $5,900. I think he's definitely worth it. You know, with Blaine Gabbert in the lineup, he's averaged 9 targets per game over the past 3 games. And that's a pretty decent number. Put up 13 targets last week. Should see between 8 and 12 this week against a pretty weak Browns defense. Blaine Gabbert has definitely looked capable of an NFL quarterback this year, which we haven't seen before. And I think Boldin, you know, opposite side Torrey Smith, I think he should get plenty of chances to shine this week. My third wide receiver slot, I'm going with Allen Hurns of the Jags. You know, a little bit banged up, but, you know, he's probable this week, and I think this is a good value play along with T.J. Yeldon. I think this Jags offense is really going to light it up this week, and we saw how Allen Robinson went up for 150 and 3 touchdowns last week. I don't think he does that again this week, and I think Allen Hurns is a great guy to look at as a number 2 wideout in this offense with Blake Bortles playing really good football this year. My tight end slot, I feel like we talk about this guy every week, but I'm going to go with Austin Seferian-Jenkins of the Bucks. You know, he only played 21 snaps last week, but actually got 6 targets. So you play that out into a full game, I think he's looking at 10-plus targets this week. This New Orleans Saints defense is historically bad. So, I mean, taking anybody against them, I think, is, you know, you definitely have an edge. And I think Seferian Jenkins showed us in week 1 what he has the capability of doing. So I think with him and Mike Evans on the field, Doug Martin playing well, I think this offense has a great mix. I think Jameis Winston is coming into his own. And I think Seferian Jenkins is a guy who at $5,500 has a lot of upside value this week. My kicker, I'm going with Josh Brown of the New York Giants at the Dolphins. You know, like we talked about with Odell Beckham, and this Dolphins defense is a little bit weak, and I think Josh Brown has really been a bright spot for the Giants this year. He's 24 out of 25 in field goals, really having a great year at his ripe old age, and I think he gets plenty of opportunities this week to score. My defense, I'm going with the number 1 defense on the board, the Seahawks at the Ravens. I know they're on the road, but, you know, with Matt Schaub under center and the Seahawks team really turning it around, I think this is a great chance for the Seahawks really to pounce on him, hopefully score some defensive touchdowns. That's what we're looking for, but I think they should shut him down, come up with at least 14 or 15 points, and be a solid staple in your cash game. So that's my lineup for the week. And, you know, we're looking to get back in the green.
Yeah, well, you know, we put together some nice streaks, and you can't win every week. So when we look at the card this week, this is a pretty crappy card when you overall look at it. But I guess probably one of the bigger games of the week is Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. And, of course, Roethlisberger is now on one leg and still managed to get out there. I mean, it's unbelievable how that guy competes. Yet Cincinnati is a 3-point favorite. You have a feel in this game?
I don't have a great feel, but I think I'd have to lean towards Pittsburgh. I mean, I know they're 7-5, but, you know, a division rivalry game, Ben Roethlisberger's been absolutely lighting it up the past 4 games. You know, he's averaging over 300 passing yards. The Cincinnati defense is pretty tough, but, you know, I just think with the way Pittsburgh's rolling right now, I can't pick against them even on the road.
Yeah, I think it's a too tight of a game, but I certainly would lean to the dog side as well here. And of course, two teams going in completely opposite directions. Can Carolina stay undefeated again and go kick the crap out of Atlanta, who after starting off 5-0, Matt Ryan has become from the greatest quarterback, Matty Ice, he's now become Matty Water. He's melted.
Yeah, really disappointing year for him. I mean, in a sense like Colin Kaepernick, just seems like he's regressed, which, I mean, is really concerning considering I thought this was the year he was going to break out and be a top 5 QB, but really hasn't. I mean, Julio Jones has had an unbelievable year, is in the top of the stats categories for all the wide receiver stuff. But Matt Ryan, you know, I think, you know, he just hasn't been great. And you've seen with Devonta Freeman out in and out of the lineup for the past few weeks, you know, they've just struggled even more. I think this Panthers team is rolling, and I think this is going to be a key this week for their defense. And I don't think they should have no problem, I think, you know, limiting Matt Ryan. I mean, Matt Ryan has not played well. And, you know, Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, these guys just run one of the most elite units in the NFL. And I think what Cam Newton's been doing is MVP worthy. So I like the Panthers in this game. I just don't think the Falcons have enough grit to stay with them.
Yeah, I think that that's probably a pretty good play. I'm not a big fan of laying the eight, but I'm certainly we'll look at it. I think that I think one of the games, I can't believe we're going to talk about this game, but I think it bears talking about. And of course, Johnny Manziel comes back to quarterback because they got nobody else. McNown's hurt. Austin Davis is awful. And I think that San Francisco goes to Cleveland getting a point and a half. I tell you, going along with your Bolden pick, I think San Francisco wins another one on the road. What do you think?
I do, too. I mean, I don't think they're nearly as bad as they were a few weeks ago. I mean, saw Blaine Gabbert, you know, rush for a 50-yard touchdown at the end of the game last week, and that was pretty sad sight as a Bears fan for me. But, you know, he's definitely looked capable. I mean, their defense has been terrible all year, but so has the Browns' defense. I mean, these two defenses are not good, and these offenses are by no means any good. But I think Blaine Gabbert does do it again. I think he gets this 49ers team a win on the road against, you know, the Browns, a very bad Browns team.
A very bad Browns team, to say the least. And I thought, you know, New England lost two in a row. Unbelievable. And we kind of snarked that out a couple of weeks ago. But now they go on the road as a 3.5-point favorite against Houston. Houston, who put up a clunker in Buffalo last week. What do you think? Awfully skinny line again. What do you think there?
Skinny line, but I think this is another one of those games like the Denver game a few weeks ago, only being a 3-point dog, playing New England. You know, New England is very banged up right now, receiving corps-wise, offensive line-wise, and this Texans team, their defense is kind of shaping up. And, you know, with the guys on the line like Jadeveon Clowney, J.J. Watt, I mean, it's kind of scary, I think, for Tom Brady. I mean, he's been hit, you know, I read a stat today, 32 times in the past three games, which, you know, for a guy who's been in the league that long, it cannot feel good. I mean, this offensive line has really been struggling. The Patriots haven't lost three games in a row since 2002. So you figure that they wouldn't make that happen again, but I think this is kind of another trap game, I think. I could definitely see the Texans pulling out and beat New England if they get a good pass rush going. So I think I'd stay away.
I agree as well. I think it's a skinny line. And then, of course, we've got we're up to a break. That's what we've got. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll be right back after the break. Make sure you check out thesportingedge.net as well as check out thebubbashow.org. Always good stuff for you. This is the Sporting Edge. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And so, Xander, we got a couple other games to take a peek at here. And, of course, you know, I'm not going to look at this game, but how about the Kansas City Chiefs? Tra-la, tra-la, all of a sudden back from the dead. They're competing. Ever since they lost Jamal Charles, they're competing hard. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the brightest spot for that team has really been Jeremy Maclin this year. I mean, he's having an unbelievable year. Alex Smith, you know, doing his thing, as you know, almost has 3,000 passing yards. I mean, he's doing a great job, and their defense has really been picking up as of late. You know, really disappointing season for the Chargers. I mean, they've really fallen off the map. So, I mean, 10.5 points in this game, I think, is a little bit much considering the Chiefs aren't exactly, you know, a lockdown, you know, great team, but. You know, this Chargers team has been brutal, and so is their defense. But I couldn't lay a 10.5.
Yeah, I said it was a tough card this week, but the last game to look at is the Monday Nighter. Pretty dog game, but of course the Giants are still in the hunt for that crappy division. And which Giant team shows up, and which Miami team shows up? Does Jarvis Landry show up this week, or does he have another week of two catches?
That's a tough one. I think. Right off the top, I'm a bigger fan of the Giants. But like you said, these teams are both teams of, you know, double identities. I mean, one week they win by 30, one week they lose by 30. I think this Giants team is a little better of a team. I think they got more to play for. And I just think the combination of Manning and Beckham is almost unstoppable, and I think they're going to pull it out on Monday night on the road.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I would actually go ahead and play the Giants on the road against the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins suck. So we'll make our plays this week. We'll be the New York Football Giants And who else will we pick? Do we take it? I don't know.
Do we agree on anything?
Oh, yeah, San Francisco. The
right.
New York Football Giants and the old Football Giants, San Francisco. No. So as we look at the season, what do you think of how it's shaping up? All of a sudden, you've got another division that's crappy, and you've got some teams, and the Seahawks seem to be coming on all of a sudden with Doug Baldwin. Where did he come from all of a sudden?
I don't know. I mean, 5 receiving touchdowns the past 2 weeks. I mean, this Seahawks team, this is what everybody else in the league doesn't want to see, a Seahawks team, you know, shaping up near the end of the season. I mean, they're still a very scary team. I don't think they're as good as they have been the past couple of years, but definitely good enough to contend for another Super Bowl. And the way they're playing right now, I mean, coming out and stomping on the Vikings last week, who have been a great upstart in the league this year, I mean, that's a scary thing to watch.
And what did you think about Adrian Peterson last week whining about not enough carries and calling it bad coaching?
That's just the kind of thing you don't want. You keep your opinions to yourself. That's my thing. I mean, there's so many outlets that athletes can go out and talk about stuff. But, I mean, you know what? You guys got down way early. I mean, I guess the game plan kind of changes when stuff like that happens, and you just hope that your star player wouldn't come out and trash your coach like that, because it just does. I don't think it makes anybody look good, and I really think it serves no purpose. I mean, if you want to talk behind closed doors, fine, but you know, when you do that, you kind of pit people against each other, and I just don't see a reason for it. But I mean, you know, First Amendment, you can say whatever you want. Just I wish you wouldn't have said that.
Yeah, no, I don't like it either. You got to be a man about it, you know. And Ivy came out with a little bit of vengeance, but they still got their ass kicked by. I know it was a close game, but they still got beat by Arizona. And how about your guy Carson Palmer? He was one of your highlights of the year. Look at him go.
He has been spectacular. Really fun to watch. Kind of makes me wish he'd been healthy all his career and gotten to this kind of rhythm. But, I mean, you can see that the guy is clearly one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this year and has a lot of weapons at his disposal, and he really makes use of them all. I mean, Michael Floyd, Larry Fitzgerald, John Brown, David Johnson really stepping into the role nicely the past couple weeks. You know, this Cardinals team, I think, is definitely a team to watch out for come playoff time. I mean, they've got a great build. They have a very good defense and a very good offense, and they've got a guy under center who has shown that, you know, when healthy, can really compete with anybody. So, I mean, they're a scary team to watch, and they better keep hold on the division, because Seattle, I think, is coming on with a storm.
Yeah, Seattle's coming on, tra-la, tra-la, and, of course, the Giants division sucks and the Colts division sucks. And what do you think of Blake Bortles? Just in general, I mean, he's had some big games, but he's always chasing from behind. What do you think of him as a quarterback?
You know, I think he's gotten better this year, which, I mean, is something you look for. You know, a guy has kind of a tough rookie year, you know, see how he comes out and responds. I think he's definitely gotten better. That's encouraging. I mean, this Jags offense has the potential, I think, to be very solid for the very near and I guess you'd say medium to long future. I mean, all their guys are pretty young. Their skills positions, you got Blake Bortles, TJ Yeldon, Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson, Julius Thomas, you know, is not that old yet. You know, I think they've got a chance for the next few years to be very good, and I think that a lot of that depends on Bortles, but I really like what I've seen from him this year. I think he's gotten a lot better, and I realize stats can be a little bit misleading when you're playing from behind all the time, but I think he's definitely made a lot of good strides, and I think eventually he'll make his way and do a consistent top 15 quarterback.
Yeah, and of course, the guy we liked all along, Jameis Winston, he's certainly looking awfully good, isn't he?
Yeah, he looks great. Really coming into his own this year, playing some great ball. I know he's only a rookie, but you know, is really taking control of that Bucs team. And you know, like you said at the start of the year, I think he's going to be a great pro, and he's shown that he's definitely on the way to being that, and he's exciting.
I just thought he'd grow up and become a great pro. I thought that he got, and don't get me wrong, I mean he was a prick in school. But I thought he would grow up, and we could see his leadership, you know, even, you know, last year in the Oregon game. So I thought that, you know, he was going to be a much bigger guy. And I'm surprised. I think Marcus Mariota is playing awfully good as well. He's had a little bit of injury problems, but see, the problem with a guy like him, I'm worried about him because I think one of these days he's going to get clocked and he won't get up. What do you think?
You know, I think he's going to stay relatively healthy throughout his career. I don't think he's not really running as much as he did in college, and I think that's great because I think, you know, part of the thing he realizes is he's not Cam Newton. I mean, who can have a lot of rushing attempts and will be relatively unaffected because he's just as big as the guy he's going up against. I think Mariota's another guy like Winston who's doing a great job his rookie year and should be a good quarterback for years to come. I mean, I don't think he's going to have an injury problem. He never really has, but we'll see. I mean, I think it all depends on how he takes care of himself. You know, you've seen it with Russell Wilson. A guy who likes to run a lot, but I mean, is smart about it. I mean, you don't want to see your quarterback running and taking big hits when they're unnecessary. And I think Mariota is a guy who's very intelligent. We saw that at Oregon, and I think he'll be fine. I think he'll have a great career.
All right. So just as we come towards an end here, there's a big debate: who's a better basketball player, Kobe Bryant or Tim Duncan?
I'm gonna say Tim Duncan.
Me too. I think Tim Duncan's better because I think now Kobe's probably more skilled, which is true. But Tim Duncan seems like the ultimate consummate professional that only cares about his team. And you can see that by the contracts that he's taken. You can see that by the way, since he came out of Wake Forest, how he's led every team, and he never had to be the front guy. When David Robinson was with him, he was just another guy with David Robinson, and he's always been just the guy that comes to work every single day. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely agree about that. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Kobe, I think, as a player. So I like Tim Duncan a lot better. That's what makes it easier for me. But, I mean, they're both great. Kobe's obviously done a lot of great things. It's kind of hard to watch this year with what he's been doing. And meanwhile, Tim Duncan is still chugging along. But, you know, both great careers, great players, will definitely be in the Hall of Fame.
No, they're both great players. And of course, that's, you know, always a debate. And, you know, these guys are in the same era. But, again, they're different positions. But I think Tim Duncan's done it with a lot less talent around him over the years. So, that's how I see it. And that'll take us to the end of the Sporting Edge this weekend. And everybody, we'll see you back here next week. Make sure you check out thesportingedge.net. Make sure you check out The Bubba Show. And we will see you back here next week. And have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next week, same time, same station, The Sporting Edge. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you. Bye.
Touch them all, Joe! Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.